Well, it's good to see you guys. I just checked my pulse. It's about a 127. So, you would thought I just got off the elliptical, but 10 minutes ago it was pretty good. But as soon as the closer it gets to the time for me to speak, my pulse rate gets on up there, and I got to pee and all that other stuff. Anyway, Ronnie, your mom has been in our prayers. I heard yesterday that y'all had to take her to the hospital because of the pain that she's having in her back and with the degenerated disc that she's going through. Man, my heart goes out to you, Mama. I love her dearly, and she's been in my prayers constantly. And Cecil as well, because Brother Cecil, you know, he's a fantastic man, and my prayers with them and with y'all too. And it's been a good, beautiful day here. The weather got back to our midsummer temperatures, just like the south here. We go from winter to summer. Last week we had winter. This week we're jumping into summer. But it's a beautiful, beautiful day down here. And just another lovely, beautiful day in the Lord. And it's good to see you guys with us. And Mama Nita, good to see you. And y'all just go with me with prayer, and we'll get my mystery message in the works again. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day. Lord, for all that you've done for us, and Lord, for that you're still doing. Lord, we just thank you for all that, not the shed blood, dear Lord, that you did, that brought everything into play. And Lord, we ask that you be with those people that are on our hearts, Lord, that need either a healing touch or a comforting touch from you. And Lord, I ask that you be with me as I deliver this message, as Lord, that it will be nothing but pure edification for the body. For Lord, that is my desire and my will. And Lord, that I know that through this message, it's the message that all body members read, that study the scriptures to search and see, to help bring forth and fill that body, which is the church. And all these things that I ask, in Christ's name, amen. I've already went through Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2. In my newly learning way of presenting the truth, and I've got a long way to go. I'm one of the I am the newest speaker, and like I said, after I do the message, I love it. Can I crank up the volume? Let's see. You might have to crank yours up, darling, because I've got everything as high as I can get here. But I've already went through 1 and 2. I'm going to go through Ephesians 3 tonight. And I hope you guys have your Bibles open and ready to go. I've already right-clicked my speaker icon, Gary. It's up to 10. I can't go any higher. Okay. My bad. I'm going to have to quit looking at the screen. Let's start in Ephesians 3:1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And as far as I can see, everybody in here knows that in Acts 28:28, the apostle said that, be it known therefore that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. And just 8 verses before that, we see in Acts 28:20, he was saying that, for this cause that I have called for you to see and speak to you, that because for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. But there was a change because Paul had a change. Paul is no longer in bounds of the hope of Israel, but for the Gentile, because of the setting aside at Acts 28:28. the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, is for preaching the gospel to the Gentiles and showing that they were not bound by the law of Moses, and yet were called to be fellow citizens with the saints. For this very cause the Jews persecuted him unto bonds and conspired his death. In Ephesians 3:2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, when he's talking to the Ephesians, which naturally, and if they've heard of the dispensation of God, which is given to them. Let's turn to Acts 20. Then we'll read 17 to 24, and we're going to see where, at first, when Paul first mentioned this. In 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. This is Paul. And when they were come in, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I come into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying on and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you. Now this is the Ephesians that he's talking to here. And also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me. He's willing to give his life up. See, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish with joy. And here's the verse. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So he's saying to the Ephesians, he knew that there was some Ephesians among them that had already heard him say that he's had the ministry of which I've received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the grace of God. And when he says, given me to you, word, the grace of God which concerned them and us, not the grace of God as to the kingdom or the heavenly calling, but the gospel of God's grace as to the church, which is the body of Christ. In Ephesians 3:3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Well, the Apostle Paul, and I don't see Cecil on here, but the Apostle Paul to me is kind of like Cecil. They are both men of that are not of a few words. So when they say that thing to say, it's not going to be in three or four words. You better be ready to sit and listen, because they've got quite a few words that they're going to say to you. But the apostle wishes the Ephesians to understand that it was not an opinion of his own or a doctrine which he was taught by others or which he had gathered from the ancient prophets, but one that came to him by immediate revelation from God, as he had informed them before in a few words, rendering what he had said. Let's look at the few words that I have set aside that the apostle wrote for them in a few words. Let's turn to Ephesians 1. And like I said, have your Bibles open, because we're not going to be going in complete order. I'm going to be going through most of Ephesians 1 in different order. But the revelation made known unto me the mystery. Ephesians 1, 9 through 11. And I'm going to be also putting in words that come from the CB notes to word it in the way that I feel is correctly written. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one. We're in that dispensation of the fullness of times. The fullness of times is not complete yet, but when it is, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him, and in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him, Christ, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And 1:3-5, who, having blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the upon heavenlies in Christ, having chose us in Him, Christ, before the foundation of the world, the katabole of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption, being adopted sons of God, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. In Ephesians 1:13, in whom you meet, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that, ye believed. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. 14, which is a pledge, a promise of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession of our Lord, unto the praise of His glory. Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. In Ephesians 2:11-16, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without, apart from Christ, being aliens, foreigners, commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And the two most famous, beautiful words in Scripture, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who having made both one, and having destroyed the middle wall of partition between us, as resembling the wall of partition in the temple that separated the Gentiles from Israel, this is the partition in the heavenlies that separated the possibility of the Gentiles and Israel. Having abolished, done away with, in His flesh, death, the enmity even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, in order that he might create in himself the two, Jew and Gentile, into one new man, so making peace, and that he might bring together both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Go back to 3:3. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. That was Paul's message afore in a few words. Just like Cecil's few words. There's very few words, because when Cecil speaks, he has a lot of words to say. Whereby in 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. According to Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. In 5:32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Ephesians, back to Ephesians 1:22-20, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, the ecclesia, the called out, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. And again, the ecclesia is formed of two forms. That's 1537 and 2564. As 1537 is ek, a primary preposition denoting origin, the point whence action or motion proceeds, out from. And 2564 is to call out. To be a member of the ecclesia, to be called out, which is the church. Ephesians 3:5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The ages is other generations or other ages. That the Gentiles, in 36, should be fellow heirs and joint heirs, a joint body, partakers of his promise by Jesus Christ, by the glad tidings, by the gospel. And this gospel is connected with Christ's exaltation as head over all things to his church, which is his body, which is developed and revealed more fully in the prison epistles. It not only involves the present glory of Messiah, but includes the final defeat of Satan, the crushing of his head, and the subjugation of all spiritual beings, be they powers, principalities, authorities, dominions. And back to 2:15-16 again, and having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. And 5:30 again, for we are members, I can't say it enough, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And the of the same body, of a joint body, is a Greek form, sous. It's only here, and it's on, and Romans onto an. It's not joined onto an existing Jewish body, but a new body of a twain. Now this is only here. It's not in Romans. It's only here. I'm sorry. Ephesians 3:7. Wherefore, I was made a minister of the good news concerning the secret, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me, according to the working of His power. Paul is and was a minister of the gospel. This is connected with Christ's exaltation. I've done said that. Acts 9:13-16 to show an example of the power, of the working power that got Paul started into this. When Ananias had a conversation with the Lord, and having heard of Paul and how much evil that he'd done to all the Christians and the saints in Jerusalem, and had the authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on the name. But the Lord Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Let's turn to Colossians 1:24-27. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ, as he spoke of before, in my flesh for his body's sake. This is Paul, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm reading 7 again. Whereof I am made a minister, we just read, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And 8, unto me, who am less than least of all the saints given. All the saints is given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this unsearchable is anekinistos. Anekinistos. It's only here and in Romans. In 1 Timothy 1:13-15, speaking of the type of person that Paul was, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and that the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Tony McCurry, of whom I am chief. The apostle says that he's chief of the sinners. because the apostle knowed what he had done to us of innocent people who were believing in the Lord, who took his message for granted. By accepting Christ as their Savior, they were many that put to death, put in chains. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. In the CB notes it says, and to enlighten all as to what is the stewardship committed to me of the mystery that had been hid from ages in God who created all things. When God hides something, man is not going to find it. It would be impossible for man to find something that God hides. And this fellowship is oikonomia, as a relationship characterized by sharing in common fellowship, as giving so that others can share generously, fellow feeling. What else has been hid? Let's turn to Colossians 3. 1-4. If ye have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That is the ultimate for any body member. That's what we seek. We seek the appearing. I hear constantly Christians today who aren't rightly dividing God's word or are ready for the appearing to take place, who don't understand what they're saying. But when something is hid in God, not only is it safe and sure, but it's not going to be found by Satan or by any evil beings, or can it be touched by anything that God would not allow it to be. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now that might be known now to the principalities and powers, authorities, and the heavenlies through the assembly, the church, the ecclesia, the manifold wisdom of God, or the multifarious wisdom of God, multicolored wisdom of God. It is given to the angelic host to observe that through your faith, my faith, a true body member, that through your faith in Christ, we have boldness, free intimacy with God, and introduction into His blessed fellowship. But how great is the privilege granted to those who experience this intimacy and fellowship? To be a body member, you do experience this intimacy. I speak with people who are members of the Church of God that ask me if I have ever received the Holy Spirit upon me. And this was just before they began speaking English. And I tell them that I have the Spirit within me constantly. The multifarious and greatly diversified wisdom of God, laying great and infinite plans and accomplishing them by endless means through every dispensation, making every occurrence to keep secret the purposes of His divine will in the church, with infinite mercy and goodness, God's gracious design to save a lost world by Jesus Christ could not be defeated by any cunning skill or any malice of man or devils. Whatever hindrances are thrown in the way, God's wisdom and power can remove. Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's look at His purpose for a second in Romans. Romans 8:28-30. And we know that all things work together for them that love, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, who He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also, thank my Heavenly Father, glorified. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, our pitiful works that we claim we have, not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, again, before the world began. In whom we have the boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Okay, am I back on yet? Okay. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. What more could we have if just having His faith, the faith of Christ? Let's look at one second of His faith. Colossians 2:12. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. What better faith could there be than to know that my Lord is going to raise me from my sleep at His appearing? Hebrews 12:2 for a second. Looking unto Jesus, the author Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Ephesians 3:13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Or, wherefore I beg that you be not cast down. Paul is pretty much saying here, I suffer my present imprisonment on account of demonstrating your privilege, of which Jews are envious. I bear my afflictions patiently, knowing that what I have advanced is of God. And thus I give proof of the sincerity of my own conviction. Let's look at Philippians 1:12-14. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palaces and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, body members, according to the riches of his glory, body members, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. By his Spirit, by the sovereign energy of the Holy Ghost. The fountain of spiritual energy can only supply the spiritual strength which is necessary for this spiritual work and conflict in the inner man. In the spiritual inner man, most traditional churches call it the soul, every man is a compound being. He has a body and an inner spirit. Whether it be good or bad, it is in a constant battle. The outward man is that alone which is seen and considered by men. The inward man is that which stands particularly in reference to God and eternity. The outward man is strengthened by earthly food and water. The inward man by prayer, spiritual and heavenly influences, knowledge, love, peace, and holiness are the food of the inward man, or rather Christ. That bread of life which came down from heaven. He that eateth this bread shall live and be strengthened by it. The spiritual inner man must be true and nourished by divine food, as the body by natural food. Read 16 again, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height. Or the CB note says, may be fully able to comprehend with all the saints what the breadth, length, depth, and height of love is. God's love in Christ is in breadth, it's boundless. In length, it's endless. In depth, it's fathomless, exhaustless. In height, it's measureless, or in the upon heavenlies. 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. By the fullness of God, we are to understand all those graces which he has promised to bestow on the new man, and which he dispenses to the church, which is his body. To be filled with all the fullness of God is to have the new man filled with meekness, gentleness, goodness, love, justice, holiness, mercy, and truth. As to what God feels, neither sin nor Satan can touch. Consequently, it implies that the new man shall be emptied of sin. That sin shall neither have dominion over it. It is impossible for us to understand these words in the lower sense than this. But how much more they imply, as there is no end to the merits of Christ, no bounds to the mercy and love of God, no limits to the improvability of the human spirit. There can be no bounds set to the saving influence which God will dispense to the heart of every believer. We may ask, and we shall receive, and our joy shall be full. 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do it abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The power strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The power of the Holy Spirit that worketh within us. 21. Unto him be glory in the ecclesia, the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So be it. So let it be. And so it will be. For all the counsels of God are faithfulness and truth, and not one jot or tittle of this promise has failed. From the foundation of the world to the present day, nor can fail till mortality is swallowed up in life. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for this message. Thank you, dear Lord, for this mystery that has been laid out from before the foundation of the world. Lord, again, I ask that you search our hearts, Lord, and touch those that need and from you, Lord. And Lord, just continue giving us the Spirit and allowing us to understand your truth to help magnify the body of Christ, looking for the pleroma. For it's in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.